Welcome to Burnside at Home on this Sunday, the 8th of August 2021. We're continuing our series of meals with Jesus, and today we're coming to Luke chapter 9, and we're coming to the meal where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Very different from the other meals that we've been looking at so far. So we're going to be looking at that throughout the service today, but thank you very much for joining with us on this pre-record of the service. This is to facilitate the telephone line, which you can ring the local rate number and listen to the service each week. You can also listen to the service on the church website if you don't want to watch the recorded video of the service. This one just has slides, so you won't see anything that's happening. There won't be any lip sync issues either, because you're just watching the slides. And hopefully, over the next few weeks, we're going to be installing new video equipment so that we get rid of all those little issues that we've been having. So I hope that you enjoy this particular version of the service. You are very welcome to join us each Sunday at 11 o'clock in the church building or the church hall, depending on how many people are there and what time you arrive. There's the overflow there, and you're more than welcome to join with us. We're still keeping at the 2 meter distance. We're still wearing masks to protect everyone, so you are very welcome to join with us. So as we worship today, we think once again about eating with God. And the psalmist says in Psalm 23, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So let's come before God and let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship you this day because you are the Almighty God, and you're the God who is in control of all things. And Lord, we thank you for that, because as we look around the world, we see chaos and disorder. And we know that the evil one is behind these things, seeking to cause trouble. And yet, Lord, we look to you because we realize that the answers are found in you. We recognize, Lord, that eternal life comes from you. And therefore, we trust in your name this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised to set this table before us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you, Lord, for this promise in the 23rd Psalm that surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives whenever we trust in you. And then, Lord, we look forward to that glorious day when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, Lord, be with us today as we worship you. Be with us, Lord, as we look to your word and as we read it and study it together. And, Lord, may you guide us, and may you lead us, and may you help us. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This part in the service in the church building, we're going to be singing "The Lord's My Shepherd," that wonderful version of Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend. "I'll not want, he makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul." And the reason we're looking at the 23rd Psalm is that there are many links between that very well-known psalm and this well-known miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 that we're going to be looking at later in the service. And hopefully, as we sing that psalm and as we meditate upon it, we'll see some of the helpful comparisons that there are. But we're going to begin by reading from 2 Kings chapter 4. And verse 42, and what we find is that not only is Psalm 23 linked to the feeding of the 5,000, there are a few other Bible passages as well. And we're going to look at those Bible passages in a little bit of detail today, but then also throughout the week on the Beside the Burn blog, we're going to look in a bit more detail. And 2 Kings chapter 4 is the occasion when Elisha feeds 100 people with just a little bit of bread. And you can see where the comparisons are. So let's hear God's word together. A man came from Baal Shalisah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate, and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. We're going to come to God in prayer once again, and this time we're going to bring our prayers for others. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we recognize day by day that we need you more than ever. And forgive us, Lord, whenever we have got so used to these changing circumstances that we almost forget to turn to you. And yet, Lord, we are living in a world of chaos and a world of decay and a world that is turning away from you. And Lord, we realize that we need you much more than we ever did. So Lord, we bring the needs of others before you today, and we ask that in your sovereign power, you would intervene and that your will would be done. Lord, we pray for our governments, both nationally and locally, and ask, Lord, that you would guide them and give them wisdom in the decisions that they take. We despair sometimes, Lord, at the decisions that have been made, that the rules that are being imposed upon us. And Lord, we see a total disregard for your word, a disregard for life. And Lord, we come to you praying that these rules would be changed and that your law would be upheld. We pray once again, Lord, those who are suffering with their health in these days, whether that be because of COVID or whether it be because of other illnesses that are not being treated in these days. We pray for funding for our health service. We pray for good management of our health service. We pray for those on the front line who have been stretched beyond all reason and ask that you would supply their needs and watch over them. We pray today, Lord, for those who are ill, that you might sustain them and help them and minister to them. And we pray that you would be near to them day by day. Lord, this incoming week, we pray for New Horizon. And although it is virtual this year, we pray for the impact that that may have on individuals, that people would tune in, that they would listen, that wherever they happen to be, they would take the time to hear your word and spend time with you. And we pray for the transforming power of that and that it would reach many, many more people this year because of the virtual aspect. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who cares for our every need. And therefore, Lord, we bring our congregation before you today and indeed all the congregations that are represented by those who are listening. Lord, may you help those who struggle day by day. May you be near to those whose circumstances have changed so much over this past year. And may you help them, may you strengthen, and may you guide. For Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to God's word again, this time the New Testament, Luke chapter 9. And this is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And that's the meal that we're going to share with Jesus today and look at in a little bit more detail. This is an interesting miracle because it's recorded in all four Gospels. We're going to examine it in Luke's Gospel because that's where the other meals occur. But we may venture into Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel a little bit as we make the comparison. So let's hear God's word together. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And the disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. So today we're sharing a very different meal with Jesus. The last 2 meals that we've examined have been in homes. We went to Simon the Pharisee's home. We went to Levi the tax collector's home. But this one is outside of a home situation. The last 2 have been small affairs. This one has a huge crowd. The last 2 were planned and prepared. This one happens on the spur of the moment with very little planning. Today we share a meal with Jesus as he feeds 5,000. And this is such a familiar story to us. We've all heard it since we were children. We probably know everything there is to know about the miracle. So how do we come fresh to this meal today, hoping to learn anything from God? How do we hope to learn anything new? Well, first of all, we're coming to Jesus. We're spending time with Jesus. And every time we come to Jesus, we will learn something new about him. And no time that we ever spend with Jesus is ever wasted. Even if it's just reminding us of things that we already know, that is valuable. But I want us to begin today by briefly looking at a few Old Testament stories that help shed a little bit of light on this New Testament meal. And we look again in Beside the Burn at these Old Testament stories in a little bit more detail. So let's begin with the 23rd Psalm that we opened our service with and that we would have sung together in church. And in the 23rd Psalm, we see a number of comparisons with what we've just read. In Mark's account of feeding of the 5,000, he says the following: "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." And of course, in the 23rd Psalm, it is all about the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd." So we can find out a little bit about the feeding of the 5,000 by going back to the 23rd Psalm and seeing what is said there about the shepherd. Luke tells us that they were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And in the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist is able to say that the Lord is his shepherd. I lack nothing. He's been satisfied by the good shepherd who is with him. And also in Luke's gospel, we're told that there were 5,000 men there. And Jesus said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And in Mark's account of this story, Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And in the 23rd Psalm, we know those words well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So there's an element of the shepherd in the 23rd Psalm supplying the needs of the sheep, providing them with everything that they need so that they will lack nothing. He gets them to sit down in the green pastures because that's the place where he will come and supply them with their needs. And so we can put ourselves into this feeding of the 5,000 because Jesus calls us as his sheep to sit down in those green pastures and to be fed by him. Then also in Mark, we're told about the quiet waters by the shore where they're asked to sit down. When Jesus landed, you see, he was going away with his disciples. They went to a quiet place. They travelled by water. Whenever they landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And in the Psalm, we're told that he leads us beside the quiet waters. That very important place where Jesus comes to meet with us. And by those quiet waters, beside the burn, as it were, as we've been thinking over this past year, Jesus speaks into our soul and refreshes our soul. And we're told that, again, in Luke 9:11, the crowds learned about it and followed him. They knew where he was going, so they went because they wanted to hear more about him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. These were intense, important words that he was speaking. They were words that needed to be said and that people needed to hear. And it reminds us in the 23rd Psalm, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The words about the kingdom guide us and lead us and help us. And it is vitally important that we sit down with Jesus, that we take the time to eat with him. You know the way sometimes whenever we're busy, we rush a meal, we just grab a meal on the go and we get on to the next thing. But it's important that with Jesus we sit down by the still waters so that he can refresh us. And that doesn't happen quickly. It's a slow process of listening to what he would teach and of the guidance that he gives, and we're refreshed by him. And Jesus is being identified here in this passage with the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy of that Psalm. But then we also have another passage, the one that we read together from 2 Kings chapter 4. And in that passage, we meet Elisha. And Elisha is performing a similar miracle to the one that Jesus performed. Elisha is feeding 100 men with very little bread. And that reminds us of the young boy bringing his lunch to the disciples. It's not there in Mark or Luke, but in John's gospel, we hear that there's a boy, he presents his lunch to Jesus, and he uses that lunch to feed them. And with Elisha, a man came from Baal Shalisah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley. They're going to feed 100 people. These 20 loaves are not enough to feed them all. But he presents it to the man of God, to Elisha, and Elisha is able to take it and use it because God multiplies the gift that has been given. And so often that's what we find, that we give a little to God and he takes it and he multiplies it and uses it in ways that we never expected that he could. And Elisha tells his servant, just as Jesus tells the disciples, give it to the people to eat. And whenever Jesus told the disciples to go and feed the crowd, they protested. They said half a year's wages wouldn't be enough to go and buy the food to feed all these people. And we just don't have that money. And we're not anywhere where we could go and buy that sort of thing either. Their suggestion was to send the people away so that they could go to all the local villages and find food and lodgings there. And as the disciples protest about feeding them, Elisha's servant protests as well. How can I set this before 100 men? There's not enough. It's not going to meet the need. It's not going to supply what they need. How can I possibly do this? You're going to make me look a fool. It's going to look badly on you as well because you've commanded it. But Elisha and Jesus both tell them to feed the people. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." And in both cases, there was food left over. Feeding of 5,000 with just the 5 loaves and 2 fish, there were basketfuls left over. How can that happen? And here in 2 Kings, he set it before them and they ate and they had some left over according to the word of the Lord. On both occasions, there's a contrast between feeding on the word of God and having spiritual food. With Jesus and Elisha, they're providing the spiritual food of teaching. And then to back up what they're doing and to show the value of the food that they have to offer, they also provide physical food for the people. And when there is a lack of physical food, then there is no lack of spiritual food. And with God, there is enough for all those who look to him. There is always enough food from God, and he provides that food for us. So there are at least 4 lessons to learn about Jesus in this passage. So what does this miracle tell us about Jesus? What lessons can we learn? Let's delve into the miracle to be able to understand it and also relate to it in our daily lives as we continue to follow Jesus. First of all, Jesus shows compassion. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 reminds us of Jesus' compassion for his people. He had just sent the disciples out on their own. They had been sent out to spread the word and to tell people about him. And now that they had returned, they were going off to a quiet place to discuss what had happened, to hear about their adventures, to find out what had gone well and what had gone badly, and what they would need to do the next time. But the crowds worked out where they were, and they wanted more of Jesus, and therefore they set off, and they arrived just as Jesus and the disciples were arriving. The disciples wanted the crowds to go away because it was getting dark, but Jesus welcomed them and he taught them and he healed them. He needed time with his disciples, but he still had compassion for the people. Luke 9:11, the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. You see, Jesus saw how needy the people were and had compassion to meet those needs. And then Jesus told the disciples to feed the people. Rather than send them away, he wanted to provide for them. Jesus said to them, "Let the people remain and instead give them some food. Don't send them off to the local villages. We can do this here." And the character of Jesus is exhibited in this part of the passage. Because his compassion is without bounds. His compassion goes beyond what is convenient for him. And even though they had travelled far and he had healed the sick and he had taught them about the kingdom of God, his priority was still the crowd that followed him. And Jesus still has compassion today on those who are in need. And he calls us as members of the church, as his body here on earth, to have that compassion and to show that compassion for others. So Jesus has compassion. Secondly, we see that Jesus uses others. He uses others to bless people. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus decides to use the boy for his miracle and turn his small lunch into something that everyone is going to be able to eat. And this is the way that Jesus works today. He calls us to be his hands and his feet. And we may feel that we have very little to offer him, but the very little that we offer him, he multiplies and uses in miraculous ways. We are his body, the church, and we're to go out with his blessing to help others and bring the good news. We know how this works on a daily basis. We say something small and insignificant, and Jesus multiplies that in the heart of someone else. We show a little act of kindness and Jesus expands it in someone else's life to have extreme significance for them. So we see the need and we present whatever we have to Jesus to be used to meet that need. And Jesus then calls us to be his hands and his feet and to bless those who are in need. Jesus is able to take what we give to him and use it in ways that we cannot do on our own. Imagine how this young boy felt when he saw what Jesus had done with his lunch. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I sort of imagine this young boy watching everyone eating, sort of open-mouthed, almost not able to eat any of it himself because he's looking at it and saying, well, that looks like the bread that I had in my lunchbox. That looks like the fish. But there's so much more and everyone's eating it. And going round them with the disciples at the end as they gathered up the excess food and being amazed. There's much more left over than I gave to Jesus in the first place. Imagine how he would have felt if he'd sneaked off on his own and ate his food himself. Nobody could have complained because he had the foresight to bring a lunch with him. He would have eaten it himself and nobody would have worried about it. But imagine the difference in his feeling that, okay, I'm satisfied, but look, everyone else still is in need. And yet that's what many do in the world today. They have and they keep it to themselves and they're not prepared to share. Why should we help others when we are in need ourselves, people say. But this is the way that Jesus has chosen to bless others. That he takes what we have and he uses it. Thirdly, we see that Jesus is big enough. Third thing that we learn from the feeding of the 5,000 is Jesus is big enough for any of our expectations. Here, he surpasses expectations. This means that Jesus provides every need and he exceeds it. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. Jesus gives thanks and the food is distributed and there is more than enough. Whatever we face in our lives, Jesus is able to cope with it. He is more than able to meet the needs before him. And then very closely linked to that, we see that nothing is too big for God. There's no obstacle that we cannot face when God is by our side. God is always greater than anything we face, especially the obstacles. And that is why we shouldn't be anxious. In Matthew 6, we read, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Nothing is too big for God. He can do all things. And therefore, whatever it is that we're worrying about today, God is greater, and he is able to do even more than we would think about asking him to do. Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 is a gentle reminder to our daily Christian lives that nothing we face on earth is too big for God. Jesus is big enough for any of our expectations, and he uses other people to bless others. He uses us to bless others. And ultimately, it shows Jesus' compassion for his people. Through this miracle, we are reassured of Jesus' love for us. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who provides, and you provide in miraculous ways. Lord, help us day by day to present to you what we have so that you might use it to reach the multitudes. And Lord, we pray that we might be your hands and feet in that operation, ready to serve. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the church service, we would at this point be singing, "Guide me, O my great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land," reminding us that he is the bread of heaven, that he is the one who feeds us now and evermore. And we pray for his healing, just as Jesus healed the multitudes before he fed them, and realize that God is our strong deliverer and he is our strength and our shield. And then when we tread the verge of Jordan, that he would take away our fears, that as we face death, we would be safe, and that we would ever praise him and honor him. So thank you so much for joining with us today in our service of worship. And now let us finish with prayer and the benediction. Now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.